Welcome everyone. Welcome to church tonight. It's really awesome to have all of you here. Since the venue is a bit smaller, we look compact, and I like it. If you've not been here the previous few times, we're busy with the Unfake Your Life series. And just so that you don't get a fright, we show a real video of us, the people preaching. So let's watch mine. I was told to say we didn't go clubbing last night. It was actually Lisa's birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. And we were actually the youngest people on the dance floor. Believe it or not, I think. No? Is it right? Okay, great. Good. So tonight we are speaking about real friends. I must say it's been quite a journey for me the last while to be able to speak about this. And it's really, what I realize is, it's such a gift from God. Friendship, and I want to start crying, but I won't, is such a friendship. It's such a gift from God. It's really something that I found is so precious. And it's something that God gave us. And for us to know that God not only wants us to have relationship with Him, but He made us also to have relationship with each other. I have a lot of good friends in this church, and some of them dunk my head into a bucket to wash my hair very unexpectedly. Some of them pray for me in a public toilet, rebuking stuff in my life. Some of them I go surfing with and spend hours just watching the rainbow come up and the rain fall down on us. And some of them really sit and talk to me for hours and spend quite a quality time with me. And others come and listen to my Bible school teaching while the baby, very, very small baby, is crying at home. But they're coming and they come and listen. So I'm very privileged, before I start with everything, to have awesome friends in this church. And I really want to say, guys, you are my family. My story starts when I was about 12 years old. I started to learn something about friends. What happened is I was part of this friendship group in my school. And I didn't realize that I was the leader of this group. I didn't even realize that we were actually a group of friends. I just thought I had friends, you know. Very naive and very young. What happened is one day they called me. And I didn't know what's going on. And they gave me a letter and everything. And basically what they told me is that we don't want to be your friend anymore. Like, we don't like you being the leader of our little group. I didn't know I was a leader. But we don't want you to be our friend anymore. So please, basically, you're not cool enough. I didn't even realize that, guys. I was wearing PT shorts and all of that stuff still when I was 12 years old. So that evening or that afternoon, I went home. And you can imagine that's quite painful. It hurt a bit, and I was crying, and I knew the Lord then already, so I went to my room, and I got down on my knees, and I'll never forget it, and I just said, Father, please give me friends. And it was such a moment, because it was the first time that I asked God for friends. Since that moment, I had friends. I didn't have to pray for friends. I didn't even appreciate my friends. And then I realized, oh, wait, I'm going to ask God for friends. The same thing, well, not the same thing, but almost the same thing happened to me again a few years later. I joined the military. I'm in the army. I can shoot and all of that if you want it. But I joined the military, and it was a whole new world for me, okay? And I won't shoot you that way. It was a whole new world for me, and what happened is that all of a sudden, I had no more friends. It's a new situation. It's a new sort of world for me. And again, I didn't have friends. And I was really looking for Christian friends that can be there for me. And in the military, it's rough. There's all kinds of things happening there. So again, I prayed. I said, Father, please give me Christian friends. What are the friends? And what happened in both situations, when I was 12 years old, God gave me two amazing friends for the rest of that year. I don't even know. I can't even remember how we became friends, but I went on holiday with them and all that kind of stuff. And also, in the military, the friends that I had, they got saved that year, and we became friends. Well, we were friends, but they got saved, and I had Christian friends. And I was just amazed when I was looking back at this, and I was like, God is so for us, and he's so for friendship. I want to tell you that because every time I prayed for him and I asked him for friends, he actually gave me friends. Okay, good. But tonight we're talking about real friends, right? So we all have friendships. And I was thinking about this. What is real friends? There's a lot of friends in the world, but what does it mean to be a real friend? And I want you to really, as we're going to talk tonight, think about, do I want to be a real friend? Is that who I want to be? Do I want to be a real friend? Great. So let me not get stuck in the same words. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking, now, who would be the perfect example of a real friend? Can anyone give me an answer for that? Jesus. I love it. Great. So I was also thinking that last year I did this discipleship course with Dr. Cornei Becker. I love saying that. It sounds so fancy. But what happened is that he told us this one quote, and it went like this. He said, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you have to spend time with Christ, and then you start to be like Christ, and you start to be able to do what Christ did. Profound. That changed my life completely. So I realized when I prepared the sermon that if I want to be like Christ, I have to look at what he did so that I can do what he did. Does that make sense? Great. So I was thinking of where in the Bible does it tell us something about friends and Jesus? And one scripture stood out for me, and it was John 15, verse 13. And it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And I had to meditate on that scripture. I had to think, what in the world does this mean to me to be a real friend? But more than that, Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And I was thinking, he could have used any word there. He could have said my brothers or sisters or neighbors or whoever, but he chose the word friends. And for us to understand that a bit better, we need to look at what happened there. You know, where was this happening to? Who was Jesus speaking to? And as I was looking at this, I realized that it was just after the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples and just before the crucifixion. So it was literally a few hours before Jesus' crucifixion. And what happened here is that it was only 11 disciples because Judas already left just straight after the Last Supper. Judas left, so Jesus was sitting here, and he was speaking to his close friends. He was speaking to his 11 disciples that's been walking with him such a long road, and now he's giving them a few things before the crucifixion. Well, not giving them, but telling them very important stuff. Great, so the verse before that will help us in us being a real friend, says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then Jesus goes on to say, greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And what I realize here is that Jesus says that we have to love one another, and not only love one another, but love one another as Jesus has loved us. Sure, now that's a statement, right? And I was thinking, but what does that mean still? What does it mean for me to be a real friend? And how do I love like Jesus loved? But just the next verse, he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. I'm going to let that like go in with you for a while. But I was thinking about that, and I was like, okay, Father, but show me more. What does this mean? How do I love? We can't go and say, okay, I'm going to lay down my life, my friends, because Jesus already did that for us. When he laid down his life for us as people, he said, I'm taking all the sin on me. He said, I'm taking every sickness on me. I'm paying my life for you for eternity so that you can be free, so that you can come into the Father's presence, so that you can experience me, so that you can know me. So Jesus already did that. So what does it mean for us as real friends? And I went to 1 John 3, verse 16 to 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how can God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That is where I was like, oh, God didn't just say we must love one another. He said we're not just going to love, not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Okay, so who wrote this is John, and he was the disciple of Jesus, and he was actually sitting there where Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And he just takes it a step further, and he says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. But still, what does that mean? What does that mean? What's deed and what is truth, and how do we love, and how are we a real friend in loving indeed and in truth? And I was like, okay, Father, show me something here. And I was reminded, and Kenny actually shared this last week also, about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And I was thinking about it, and I went to read the whole passage. And the first verse there, John 13 verse 1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That was for me just profound. Jesus saying that he loved his disciples. He loved his own, and he loved them till the end. And what happened straight after that is the following. He laid his outer garments, and taking a towel tied around his waist, then he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Which jumped to verse 12. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his plate, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. And Kenny explained it so nicely last week when he said those guys were walking in their sandals, not like us, closed shoes and not on a nice surface, but on the ground. And so when they came to Jesus, their feet were quite dirty. Okay, I don't know how to explain dirt, but it was dirty. Okay, so there was probably like eelter and stuff, and you know, it was filthy. Is that a better word? So here Jesus is. He's saying, guys, I want to wash your feet. And Kenny, I was laughing at Kenny's jokes last week where he said, but for us to do that is like a dishwasher. But I was just thinking, who of you will wash your friend's dirty feet? Wow, no one. I'm so glad we're doing this sermon. So even for someone to go and say, you know what, I'm going to wash your feet. And in those days, it was actually the servant, okay, that was washing the feet. And here what Jesus does, he says, listen here, guys, I love you so much. And I want to show you something today, that love is not just saying I love you, but love is where I come and I say, you know what, I'm your teacher and I am your Lord. But I want to show you something today, that I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to sit and I'm going to say, guy, I love you. I'm going to wash your feet. And what does Jesus say then? Go and do unto others what I have done to you now. So he says, go and love other people like I have loved you now, in deed and in truth. Do you get that? Great. Just to bring it a bit more home, just for you to get a better understanding of what that means, I was thinking, I'm surrounded by brides. My beautiful flatmate is getting married in a week's time. And so I think about brides all the time. if you are a bride, that big day, that wedding day, is all about you, right? You're like so excited. I mean, for months you're like working. There's a lot of planning. There's preparation. There is what else? Praying. There's such like a lot of things happening. And then, of course, you have the privilege of having your bridesmaids. And I want to tell you, to be a bridesmaid is such an honor. It's such a privilege to be part of this wedding day and to walk with this bride. But you're not going to think about yourself in that time. You're going to think about the bride, because it's about the bride. It's about that big wedding day. It's about that excitement building. It's about loving this person getting married. And I've got this awesome friend, and I'll tell you who she is also, who when she got married, I had the privilege to be her bridesmaid also. And so what happened is that the evening when she actually asked us to be her bridesmaid, she threw us this big supper. Is that what you call it? Is that the best English word? Dinner. She threw us this big dinner, and she had little boxes, and she spoke over us, and it was such a privilege. She felt so honored to be her bridesmaid. Sorry, I just have to tell it. Joke, because my mouth is getting dry. So what happened is, sorry, Esty, I'm going to use you. So Esty, we were eating dessert, and there was lepels? Spoons. But you eat a spoon of a small spoon, right? So for some other reason, the dishing spoon was in front of Esty, and she thought she had to eat the dessert with the dishing spoon. So I'll never forget that evening because of her eating the pudding like that. But anyways, this same person, through the journey of being engaged, she actually also one night invited us over again to a restaurant, and again she gave us like cards, and she spoke over us, and she told us how awesome we are, and you felt so privileged. I mean, wow, she's really, really honoring us. It was for me the most amazing thing. But now it didn't stop there. We had a kitchen tea, and we sort of kidnapped her, and we had a weekend away. And that evening there was quite a few people there at the camp. And what she did, she bribed everyone's meat that evening. This lady bribed everyone's meat that evening. And it doesn't stop there. So the evening before she got married, now you know this is the most important evening of the whole thing, because you're nervous, your bridesmaids are there, you're so looking forward to this next day. I mean, it must be all about the bride, right? What did Lisa do? I said your name. What did Lisa do? She bribed for us. For us, for our bridesmaids. There she was bribing for us. And for me, when I was thinking about this, Lisa knows how to be a real friend. We were supposed to honor her and, you know, spoil her all the time and invited her over to dinner and say, listen, yeah, you are the best. We honor you. You are really amazing woman, and we had to give her gifts and all of that. But here Lisa comes and she serves us. In this time where she's supposed to be this bride, where we're supposed to do the work. So do you get a bit of more understanding of what Jesus did when he was washing the feet? Of course, Jesus did something much bigger, yeah? But he was this teacher, and he was okay, let me drink water. Then I don't have to tell another joke. So here Jesus was, and he was this, you know, he's the Lord and the teacher, and he came and he said, you know what, I'm washing your feet because I love you so much. I love you so much, and I want you to go and do that to others. Good, so this love that we're talking about, is it possible for us just to love the whole time? Is it possible for us to just give and give and give to our friends and by that be a real friend? Is it possible for us to do it out of our own? I don't think so. Rachel is shaking her head. She agrees with me. But Jesus says something beautiful. Just before, in John 15, verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. I'm going to read it again. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. abide in my love. So what's Jesus saying here? He says, I didn't do this out of my own strength. I'm not loving you out of my own abilities or what I can do, but I love you because the Father has loved me. I don't think we understand how much God loves us. If we just had a little bit of an idea how much God loved us, I think we would just lie flat on our faces the whole day. Just what he's done for us, when he says in John 3:16, that's a bad mistake, is that he says, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loved us. He loves us still today. He loves you, even though you think you're doing many things wrong. Even if you think that, no ways, if God just knew what I did today, well, God knows anyways. And he still loves you. He loves you so much, and he's yearning for you to come to him. He's yearning for you to come and to say, Father, show me more of your love, because I want to know this love. I want to know you, Father. I want to know, what is this love when you say you loved us so much that you gave your only son for us? And the cool thing about this is, the love that we get from the Father is the love that we give to people around us. So we can't love out of our own strength. There's no ways that we can love out of our own strength. We will fail many times. But when we sit with God and we sit in his presence and we're like, Father, show us your love, and we experience the love of the Father, and we understand that he is for us, and we understand that he thinks that we are the most beautiful things ever, and he made us and he knew us while we were still in our mother's wombs, then it's possible to step out and to start loving other people. Again, I had to learn this the hard way. I have this awesome friend, and before I tell the story, we are still awesome friends. We've known each other now for 12 years. We went to the military together. We studied together. After that, we stayed together. And it was in this time where we were staying together that this happened, where I was not abiding in God's love. I was not being filled by God. God wasn't my everything at that stage. And what happened is, in our friendship, I wanted to be my friendship. This was now my thing, because I wasn't putting God first in my life. I was now wanting to hold on to this friendship to be my everything. And what happened is I got so jealous about her, in a sense, because I didn't want her to be friends with other people. Okay? And I got so prideful because now why is she not doing these things to me, but she's doing it to other people? And I was getting so selfish because I wanted that things for me. Has any one of you ever experienced something like that, or am I the only one? Okay, good, now I feel a bit better. But really, it was a interesting time for me, because I realized that I just want here. And what happened is, in a way, I was actually pushing her away. This awesome friend of mine, I was actually pushing away. But God is so good. God is so good, and he came to restore in such a powerful way. But just to tell you something different about this friend and how good God is in that time, while we were not talking, actually, Vinay, you can tell them the stories afterwards, because Vinay was in there also. In this time when we were not actually talking to each other, my family went through quite a difficult stage, or not a stage, what do you call it, time. And I realized I had to pray for my family. I realized I couldn't just let this go. Actually, I had to pray for my family. So I got up the one morning, and I learned all about prayer and intercession, because I didn't know much at that stage. And I got up the morning, and I said, okay, Father, I'm praying for my family. And after I've prayed, God told me, you can't do this alone. Sure. Okay, so now, how am I going to ask my one friend that I had at that stage, that I'm not talking to pray with me in the mornings? And I went to her, and I said, listen here, can you please pray with me for my family in the mornings? And it was incredible, because I wasn't speaking to her, and she still said yes. And she still, every morning for the next 3 months, I want to cry now, but anyways, I won't. So every morning for the next 3 months, we got up 6 o'clock, it was 6 o'clock, I think, And we prayed together for my family. And that's a real friend. Like, while you're so selfish and so just thinking of yourself and things, she comes and she says, you know what, I'll pray with you. And we didn't pray for her family, we prayed for my family. And every morning for that next 3 months, she prayed with me for my family, and miracles happened after that. This selfishness, this envy thing, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it so nicely. And I understood it for the first time when I read this book, his book, Alive Together. By the way, I have to say who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is. I don't really know. Let me read it. He's a renowned Christian minister and seminary professor who was imprisoned and ultimately executed by the Nazis for his resistance to Hitler. So this guy stood up. He stood up for Christ in a time where things were very dark. And what happened to him, actually, he was in prison for 2 years. So he was actually with, like, Christian people very close, had to sit in prison for 2 years, and then eventually he got hanged. But he wrote this book, Life Together, and this is one of the quotes that a few weeks ago really hit me. And he said, human love is directed to the person, other person, for his own sake. Spiritual love loves him for Christ's sake. Let me read it again. Human love is directed to the other person for his own sake. Spiritual love loves him for Christ's sake. So if you think about that, when Jesus said, love as I loved, he didn't love us for his sake. He loved it for Christ's sake, for God's sake. So in this relationship of mine where I was like all about me stuff, it was all about me. So I love this person but for my own sake instead of for Christ's sake. And Dietrich goes on and just to, like, you won't maybe understand everything because I didn't, but I know you're smart people here today. So he says the following. He says, human love loves by controlled and uncontrollable dark desires. Me, 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 it's all about me. Spiritual love lives in the clear light of service ordered by truth. So it's not a dark thing just here. It's in the open, it's in the light, and it's through serving, it's through those deeds and those truth. Human love produces human subjection, dependence, constraint. So now we're just dependent on each other. It's just like the safe little place. But spiritual love creates spiritual love creates freedom of the brethren under the word. So there's freedom. There's not this hectic thing holding onto each other. There's freedom in that. Then he says, human love breeds hot house flowers. Now, I don't know what a hot house flower is, but I think it's just like it's humid and it's hot and it grows out of there, but it stays like, I don't know, stuck in a way. I thought you were going to answer me, Mariana, but... Spiritual love creates the fruits that grow healthily in accord with God's good will in the rain and the storm and the sunshine of God's outdoors. Isn't that just beautiful? So if I love with a spiritual love, with God's love... Oh, by the way, spiritual love... It's not a spiritual thingy. It's God's love. It's like when we abide in God's love, that is the spiritual love. So when I abide in God's love, I can love, doesn't matter in what circumstances. Doesn't matter if it's raining or storming, and it's freedom in that. I don't feel constrained. I don't be like, oh, why is she talking to that one? Oh, now she's not going to be my friend anymore, or anything like that. I don't get jealous. I don't think about myself all the time, but I'm actually like, God, what do you want to come and do in that person's life? It's all about you. It's for your glory, this relationship, this friendship. Are you all still with me? Great. So if that happens, if we are able to love for Christ's sake, if we are able to love, to see God's name glorified, to love as Jesus loved us or his disciples, then what happens then? And I love this part. John 13:34-35 says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." So here Jesus is saying it again. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Isn't that just so exciting? That Jesus not only says that we should love one another as Jesus has loved us, but then people will know that we are his disciples by the way that we love each other. Now, for long, I've been quoting the scripture and I was thinking about it. I was thinking, but how, is it just like they must see I love Megan and then they will know that we are God's disciples? And I realized that's not the only thing. That's not the only thing, but because I love Megan, there's some fruits in our lives. So there's fruits happening, and these fruits, they're actually like, wow, this is good fruits. There's good things happening there. We can see that this can't be just this relationship. God must be bigger than this. God must be part of this. So that love that we have for each other produces fruit, and that shows to God. Because it's good fruit, and it's light, and it brings good fruit. Fruit, fruit, fruit all over. So when we think about it, it's quite hectic, no? Kathleen agrees with me. It's quite hectic to love for Christ's sake. I must admit it, like, I also still struggle with that. To be like, this is not about me. I must get myself out of my friendship and out of my relationships. It's really difficult, and a good friend of mine who you know very well, and like, we still fail at things. But God is so good, and when we put God first, like we desire God first, we desire him first, we want him to be glorified, then we don't need to work so hard at trying to not love for our own. What happens in this specific friendship, let me just show, is that sometimes, you know, we really fail. And to be real tonight, sometimes, well, once, we actually felt so bad that we were shouting at each other and really fought, and it was quite hectic situation. But, you know, because we both desire God so much, in a moment we were like, whoa, 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 stop. What is going on here? Let's pray. And we got down and we started praying, and God just filled that room. And what happened afterwards is we started chatting, and we actually learned stuff that day about who God is and his faithfulness, and for us how to be friendships and how to serve each other, which was incredible. So this fruit that we're talking about, what is this kind of fruit? Well, the first kind of fruit is that we find in Proverbs 27 where it says, iron sharpens iron, and so one friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. Okay, I love it in Afrikaans. It says, "Eister sluip eister vriende vorm mekaar." Okay, so if we are friends, we actually form each other. Okay, so we challenge each other. We pray for each other. We are accountable to each other, and in that way, we grow. Okay, so that's the first fruit that I think that is talking about here. If someone looks at my life, and maybe I should ask my mom because she's also here, and my dad. If they look at my life, they must be like, I saw you in this friendship, and I saw that you grew. There was good fruit in this. You're not the same person that you were a few years ago. So not only my friendship with certain people, but with every person, there's a place where we sharpen each other. And that is fruit. So people can see something else is happening here. This must be something supernatural. I can see the change. I can see the growth in this person. But more than that, it's not just for fruit for us as a person. But this fruit also helps for God's purposes to be done. Okay? So if we are real friends, there's a purpose. There's a purpose with friendship, and I'm telling you that tonight, that God didn't just make us to be friends and be happy. And believe me, I have fun in my friendships, okay? It's really cool, and it's really blessed. But God didn't just make us for each other. He made us for a bigger purpose. He definitely made us for a bigger purpose, and this is what God wants to come and do in us. This is what He wants to come and do in us as a church. He wants us to be real friends so that the world will see and that His purposes will be done through us and in us. Let me just tell you this testimony. Sure, this preach is going quick, word. If we as friends start to seek each other, not each other, please don't seek each other, but when we start to see God and put Him first in our relationships, then He has a place to come and do mighty works through us. If you just think about God's disciples, they were 11. God started with 11, and He said, love each other as I have loved you. And by this, the world will know what happened. They spread the gospel from there, 11 guys, while there were 12 later on. But it started there with that 12 spreading the gospel to the whole world. It started there. And I believe that's what God wants to do through us. That's what God wants to do in us, being real friends, serving each other in deed and in truth and loving each other so that these purposes can be done. I'll just tell you the story that... When our country was going through a tough time, and what happened is that Esther and I got together and we prayed, and all of a sudden, we just finished with a fast actually, for something in the church, and we were praying together, and we felt that we should fast again. Now I don't know if you've ever fasted and you ate and now you have to fast again. It's not the easiest thing to do. I think Esther actually thought that we must fast, but still eat sweets. And I was thinking we must still eat fish. So then we came to the conclusion, okay, no, it's probably not from God. We must just fast. But we did a Daniel fast, so it's not like we fasted everything. And it was such an incredible time. It was such an incredible time because Esther was staying in one of the rooms in our flat, and every morning we would pray together. And every evening we would pray together for this thing that we were praying that our country was going through. And we had a very specific thing to pray also. We had to pray for the watchman in our country, which was profound. And the biggest shofar has this page on Facebook, the Watchman page, where we pray for certain stuff, and they post stuff on the Facebook page, and they were also praying for this thing that time, and during the day, we will watch the page, and they will post stuff that we prayed that morning. So not only were we praying random prayers, God was like moving in unity, and He was showing us exactly what to pray for. It's also in that time where we learned in God's presence to declare God's word. It was profound. I can't even remember how it happened. But the one morning we felt to declare God's word, we did it together. I don't know if you've ever declared word out loud with someone, like reading it out together. We could literally feel God's word like cutting as we were proclaiming it. But what was cool about this whole journey was at the end of it, I think it was the last day or something, then I was going to go to a birthday party. I think some of you were also there. Yeah, you were there, I think. And that evening, we were going to go up to Table Mountain to celebrate this friend's birthday. And Esther actually decided long before that she's not going. She's not going. She also wanted to go, but she had a date with her other friend that Monday evening. And so I was like, okay, we got together the Monday morning. And Esther walked into the room like, big eyes, and she tells me there's a prophetic thing that we need to do. Now, I was like, yeah, I love prophetic things to do what God tells us to do, but then she didn't want to tell me what. Okay? So now, she said we had to do this prophetic thing, but I didn't know what it was, so I was a little bit, God, we just do this. And she said, no, she feels God must tell me. Because if God tells me what the prophetic act is, then we know this is not our own thing, but God actually wants us to do this thing. And so we started praying because I was just like, okay, I'm not even going to think about that. I don't want to now think of prophetic things. And we prayed, and it was really cool. And at the end of the prayer, I felt God telling me that evening I'm going up to Table Mountain for this birthday party. And he actually wants me to go a bit earlier and then proclaim word over our country. So if you know, Table Mountain is quite high, so it's a high place, and God wanted me to go there and proclaim his word and his truth. And for me, it was like, oh my God, this is big. I mean, over my country, like from Table Mountain. And so I opened my eyes and we're done. I didn't say anything yet. And I looked to Esther and I said, are you still going to your friend tonight? You know, like hoping, you know, I don't really want to do this thing alone. And she started crying. So eventually it came out that the previous night already, she canceled her appointment with her friend for that evening because God told her that we're going up to Table Mountain to declare his word and his truth over our country. So just to show you that friendships and real friends have purpose. It's not just about me and my friendship. It's about God's kingdom coming. It's about fighting for his people. It's about fighting to see that God's name be glorified above every other name. So tonight, when we look about what is real friends, I don't want to say it's really simple. It's not really simple. But we can sum it up in this way. We can say real friends love like Jesus loves. Indeed and in truth, for Christ's sake, abiding in God and bearing much fruit. What do you think? Is it good? I think it's good. So tonight, when we talk about real friends, we realize in the first place that I have to be a real friend. I must say, this week was a bit hard for me because now I know what a real friend is. And now I look at other people the whole time thinking, no man, you know, sort of thing. And why are you not a real friend to me? But then I realized I'm doing the wrong thing. I must be the real friend. And many times I actually had to stop and be like, okay, you have to be the real friend. And not out of my own strength. Not because I want to love this person, although I love this person and God has given me this love for this person, but for Christ's sake, for his love, for his kingdom to come. Guys, and we're going to fail at this many times, but for us to abide in Christ and say, okay, Lord, I can't do this on my own, but help me and teach me. And for the last few years, God actually came and he very specifically showed me things about friendship. Bearing one another's burdens, walking with that person, going out of your way to bless and not to look at your own things. God has been speaking to me about that, and I feel he's going to do the same to all of us. Like, I don't want to stand here tonight and say, this is a real friend, you must do this and this and this. Because I feel God wants to come and show us, he wants to come and do something in our hearts, where it's not about us anymore, but it's about his kingdom coming, and it's about loving someone else, you know, more blessed to give than to receive. Do unto others what you want to be done unto yourself. And I feel that's what God wants to establish in us. And he's going to come and do it. He's going to come and do it. And people are going to see real love. And they're going to see God. And they're going to hunger for who God is. And his truth. And they are going to want to be set free. And they're going to come into the light. And they are going to want to have a relationship with our God and our Savior. So tonight I think, let's stand. And I want you to close your eyes. And I'm going to give over to Matthew for now.
I really loved this girl. I was very touched when she shared the scripture. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. In order for them to be righteous. But Jesus came with this new revelation. Jesus came with this concept of being a child of God. Scripture says that for those that have received him, he have given them the power to become children of God. You know, Jesus said to his disciples that I don't call you my servants anymore, because the servant does not know what his master does. But I've shown you everything. I call you my friend. Maybe for some of us, the picture we have about God is this God with many laws, with many requirements that I need to fulfill. Or this is the God that wants to give me so much work that I need to do in the church. Maybe the picture you have about God is about this God that wants you to be so much busy to please Him. But you know what? That's not the Lord's heart for you. The Lord's heart for us is being children, being free. The Bible says that we did not receive a spirit of bondage, but a spirit of adoption, by which we cry, Abba, Father. Maybe you are here, you don't like to hear the word Father, because the experience that you had in your family about having a father was so bad that you don't know what it means to have a father. But you know what? Jesus says, no one can come to a father except by me. Jesus is the only way. And when He comes, He baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives you a sense of relating to the Father. The Bible says, through Him we cry, Abba, Father. And if you are here, you just don't know what it means to be a friend of God. You just don't know how to receive the Father's love. You don't even know what it means to be the friend of Jesus. Because the experience that you've had with friendship, the experience that you've had with the fatherhood was so bad that you have a very wrong perspective about who the Father is. But this evening, our God is here. And He has stepped into your environment, into your space. And He's saying to you that I want to be your friend. It's almost like He's wanting to dance with you. He has stretched His hand and He's saying, I want to dance with you like a friend. You know, when I arrived today at the service, I saw when Meruhen arrived, she met with Estee, she hugged her. I've always seen people hugging one another, but that was like a picture. It was so strong to me. Like they were really hugging. I could see that these people love one another. And God wants to do exactly the same thing with you. Maybe you feel very far away from God. You grew up in church, you grew up in a Christian environment, but you really don't feel that you've been a friend of God. You really want to give your heart, your life to Jesus, and you feel like, Lord, I want to be your friend. I want to be like a child in your house. I really want to be with you. I really want to abide. I really want to know what it means to be your child. Not a slave, but a child of God. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand as an act of faith. Just as a way of you saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I want to be your friend. I want to give my life to you because it's meaningless without you. I can't even understand friendship without you. If that's you, please lift your hands up as an act of faith of saying, Lord, I really want to be a friend of you because I feel like I'm a performer. I'm trying to be a performer, but I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I don't want to be a slave, but a friend of you. Just where you are, lift your hand. Don't be shy. This is between you and God. Lord, I've been a performer. I've been a church person. But I want to be your child. I want to be your child. I want to feel home in your presence. Even in my secret place, I want to feel home. I want to feel like a child of God. Loved by the Father. I really want to feel like a princess. Maybe you've struggled to receive His love as a father. The Lord is saying, I want to be your friend. I want to argue. Just raise up your hand where you are. Thank you for those hands. Don't resist. Don't be shy. You're not raising your hand for me. But this is a sign of love. That Father, I love you. The prodigal son, when he came back to himself, he decided, no. I'll get back to my father's house. Maybe you feel like that prodigal son and you want to come back home. Not as a servant, but as a child. I want to ask you to take a step of boldness as you raise your hand to come to the front. And we're going to pray for you. Please come to the front. Those that raise their hand, please come to the front. We're going to encourage you. Please come forward. Those that raise their hands, don't be shy. This is the family of God. This is the house of God. This is the Lord's time. When you love someone, you can't be shy of the person. Would you please clap your hands for them as they are coming forward? This is a precious moment. Don't resist. Maybe you are even in the ministry, but you don't feel like a friend of God. You might be involved even in the worship team, even I don't know what, but you really feel like you're not a friend of God, or you really feel like your heart has not yet been given to God. I want to encourage you to come to the front. I really want to encourage you. God is after friendship. I really want to encourage you. Sometimes we fail in our friendship because we've never had a clarity about the real friend, Jesus Christ. Because we can't have a clear picture about ourselves until we have a clear picture about who God is. Thank you, Lord. You know, as I was seated there, I felt like when I saw, I kept on remembering the picture of Esther hugging Merichen. Like some people feel like you feel dirty, that you can't really hug God because you feel like you're almost dirty because of maybe some of the wrong things that you've done. And you feel so much guilty that you kind of like, you know, I can't just be friend of God. But you know what? God is not just like that teacher who's there with the red pen trying to mock you. God is saying that I love you. I love you. I'm so much interested in who you are than what you do. If you really identify with that, don't be shy. I'm encouraging you to come to the front. This is a friendship moment. This is a love moment. No matter what you've done, no matter how your past look like, please come to the front. The Lord wants to minister to you. The Lord wants to make all things new, because He makes all things new.
Just want to encourage you, if you felt that you put your hand up, this is a very sacred moment, because now it's not about you. You're saying, Father, I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to give you everything. Just quickly want to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this people in front. And I thank you, Lord, that today you remove all fear, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you come and fill them with your spirit and your goodness, Father, and that they will taste and see that the Lord is good today. Father, they will know that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Father, and that you have good plans for them, Father. Thank you, Lord, that today you tell them that you will never leave them nor forsake them, Father, that you will walk with them through difficulties, through joy, through this tough roads, Father, but every step of the time, Father, that you will be with them. And thank you, Lord, that as of today, they will not live for themselves, Father, or for their own glory or their own desires, Father, but they will seek you. And when they seek you with all their heart, Father, that they will find you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you protect them. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, but you will be with them and you will show them how to go and where to walk, Father. And we say, Lord, let your name be glorified in their lives, Father. Let your kingdom come in their lives, Father. And thank you, Lord, for the magnificent work that you're going to come and do in them and through them. There's going to be someone praying for you that will come as you turn around. Hopefully there will be some people praying for you and just taking a road with you. But for the rest of us, I want to make another altar call tonight. Since we spoke about friendship tonight, I think there's a commitment that we have to make. So the one commitment that these amazing people did here is that they said, Father, we want to know you above everything. But there's another commitment, what we want to make, and that's like, Father, I don't want to live for myself anymore, but I want to be a real friend. Like this week, I was so challenged by the word because I realized that I've never made a commitment to say, Father, I actually want to be a real friend. I don't want to live for myself anymore. Teach me and help me. Like I've prayed for friendships for me, but I never said, Father, teach me and help me to be a real friend so that your kingdom may come, so that your name will be glorified, so that your purposes will be done. So actually, tonight is not just a little thing where I'm calling people up and saying, great, we're committing to being a friend, but a few friends of mine and I don't know how you say it, we got together and we were like, what is a real friend and what is little things that we can do to be real friends? And we actually sort of designed this 40-day real friend challenge. I don't know if you've ever been part of a challenge. But this challenge is small things like pray for your friend's purpose today. It's small things taking our eyes off ourselves and putting it on God. And then there's a few little harder things also to do. But it's something that needs to happen in our hearts where we're like, I want to love in deed and in truth. So if you want tonight standing here and you're like, God, I want to be a real friend. I want to be a real friend and I want to make a commitment to be a real friend. I don't know if we have much space here. But if you want to do that, I want you to come to the front. And come and stand here in the middle. And there's going to be people that's going to pray for you. And I actually want to ask all the girls that was part of this to pray for you. And they're going to hand you something small that you can put in your bag or whatever. And you can be part of this real friend challenge. So if that's you tonight and you really want to take this challenge and saying, Father, I want to be a real friend. I'm just not just saying I want to be a real friend. I'm taking this challenge. Help me to be a real friend. I want you to come to the front so that we can pray with you quickly and give you a word. I'll give you a card.